From listener supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan and on demand as a podcast. It's Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, hawa, salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, the Juneau School District offers a variety of optional programs to students, and we'll have a look at some of them today, including the Montessori program, the Thlinkit Culture and Language program, plus the Juneau Community Charter School, as well as the Alternative High School program. And yesterday, the 2024 Alaska Postcard Contest kicked off, and this year's theme is My Alaska. We'll find out all about it and how you can stamp your artwork. Those conversations, plus Tongass voices, music, and more, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hanson Gress, ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha ani kak, gunish cheese.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. KTOO turned 50 a few weeks back, and we are celebrating throughout the spring, and we want to hear from you, the community that has supported locally owned airwaves in Juneau for 5 decades. We'd love to hear your reflections on how KTOO has impacted you over the years. We're looking for audio submissions that are 1 to 3 minutes in length that share your thoughts, memories, driveway moments, personal stories about the station that we can use on the air. To submit, record your message on your smartphone and email it to junoafternoon@ktoo.org. Instructions for getting good audio can be found on our homepage at ktoo.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Salama, thank you. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juno School District offers a variety of optional programs that you can get your students involved in. Today, we are going to be looking at these programs, from the Montessori to the Thlinkit Language Program, plus the Charter School and the Alternative High School Program. It's a good deal of options for the students in Juno. We have the principals and some students here to share about these various programs that offer a variety of educational outcomes. Plus, there are no charges for these programs. So we'll talk about features and enrollment. So let's start with a new person to Juno. His name is John Paul. Gunath Cheesh, Ha Yigudi, Wasa Iati. How's it going, John?
Very good. I'm thrilled to be here. 9 months into Juno, and I don't regret it even a little bit.
Even with all that snow that we had.
Oh, I absolutely have loved it. I grew up in the northwest corner of Montana, but okay. I spent the last 35 years in Texas, and I was thrilled to escape.
Oh, nice. Well, welcome to town. And so here's an interesting thing, because you are not the principal of one school. You're the principal of two schools. So we're starting with your two schools today.
Indeed. Yes, sir.
Tell us which two programs you are the principal of.
Okay. So first of all, there's Yakuska Dakahiti, which translated in Thlinkit is basically House of Knowledge. Mm-hmm. And that's my alternative high school. That's 10th through 12th grade. We offer accelerated instruction. But we also offer a lot of individual attention with advisors. We do a lot of community outreach. We partner with Thlinkit and Haida and Sea Alaska and all sorts of different programs. Once a month, our students go out out into the community, spend 2 hours doing that. Right now, we're in the middle of workshops, which is an unbelievable way. Seriously, it's my most exciting thing about the school. It's the unbelievable way that some of our students get elective credits.
Oh.
So between the first and the third quarter and between the third and fourth quarter, we have 2 weeks where from 8:30 to 3, students get to select one thing, and then we offer them a choice. Like, for instance, right now we're doing driver's ed with one teacher, and that's through CLASCA. We're doing a welding program where they're literally going across that bridge from Juno Douglas High School over there and with UAS, and they're doing welding and they're driving forklifts and those kinds of things to, you know, kind of clue them in on some other things that they can do.
Yeah.
After graduation, we have our science teacher, Jasper Nelson, is doing Survive Alaska. He's doing trapping and fishing and water samples and hunting and camping. So he's doing that for 2 weeks, and it's an elective credit, but you can't miss more than a day because that's 90% of the time. But that's how some of our students do their electives and get a real bulk of their electives during the fall and the spring. It's really exciting.
That's really cool. Are you participating? I know we were talking a little bit in the announcement section earlier about UAS is doing some stuff with their career educational program. And is that something that you're going to be taking the kids to this week? I know they're doing some
Yes.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Thursday of this week, the gentleman who's doing the welding is taking his students there in the afternoon. Unfortunately, because the students can't miss any time, some of the other, like, for instance, our math teacher, geometry, he's doing I can't remember the name of the box, but it's a certain box that you make, but it's all geometric angles. And they're doing that for 2 weeks. They're making their own boxes for math and government combined. They're doing local government, including tribal governments, but they're doing math components with that, learning how to read graphs and statistics and those kinds of things and how those things go together with government and economics and stuff. It's really an exciting way. And the teachers get to pick different things from the fall to the spring. So, for instance, we had students get PE credits by doing topographical maps of all the peaks around here. And then they actually went out and hiked them.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
That is awesome. Okay. So now you were telling me some stuff pre-show in terms of, credit recovery. Can you talk a little bit about that? And you're going to be accepting freshmen and all this kind of stuff. What's going on there?
We don't normally accept freshmen. We can't, that may change down the road, depending on how optional the program becomes. Right now, we're more credit recovery in that we take students who are credit deficient and we catch them up a little bit faster because all of our instruction is accelerated. We can offer 5 credits per semester, which is 10 credits per year. And that is definitely up from your normal. Your normal is 7.
Okay.
And so we can catch students up either to get them back to their home campus or we have a lot of students. We're going to have about 40 graduates this year of Yokosuka Dakahiti, which is really spectacular. We only have 97 students right now. And so to have 40 students graduate is really wonderful. You know, a lot of those students maybe wouldn't have graduated if it weren't for our program.
So credit recovery is maybe some folks have fallen behind in the other high schools.
Right.
So they get an opportunity to go to Yokosuka. And so what is different about the program there that makes it something that is useful for them?
I think the most important thing is that it's broken up into quarters to where they can take an entire class in one quarter, but it's streamlined, but it's intensive. And so it's 70 hours would be quite a day. It's 70 minutes per day, but they also have 2 days a week where they have advisory. They have 3 days a week where they do extensions. They do 2 days a week where they do mandatory study halls. And but it's in that time they just do a deeper dive into that subject and try to get them those, especially the core subjects that they have fallen behind in.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So if somebody Could somebody go there, though, if they weren't credit deficient?
They could, as a matter of fact.
They can choose it as an option.
Yes, and that's what I'm hoping that we become. Well, I'm hoping that actually I would like my vision. It's a little pie in the sky right now.
Hey, you're new. You get to have that.
My vision is within a year, I actually hope to double the size of the program. If we double the size of the program, then we change from more of that intensive credit recovery to a block schedule to where we can still do more credits per semester. But some of those things are done online through Acellus programs, which you can do at your own pace, but that you still have the individual attention of the teacher that you have in regular classrooms. In other words, we don't just want to plop students down in front of a computer, but we'd like to offer that as an extra option in the future for those students who need that credit recovery, but then also service students who aren't credit deficient.
Gotcha. Okay. And of course, for more information, if you want to find out more about Yakuza, you can call 907-523-1802. And of course, you can also go to junoschools.org. All the schools are listed on there, and you can find out more information. John is the new principal there, just new to Juno. So, but here's the thing. John doesn't just have one job. He's got two jobs. So let's talk.
They saw me coming. Let's put it that way. You want to come to Juno? Let's do this. So I would like to say that both schools are also moving out to Dox Tahini.
Okay.
Most likely. The school board still has a few things to say about that, but it looks like where our new home is going to be Dox Tahini, which the Yakuska Dakahiti program is also going to add a really large food pantry in conjunction with the food bank, the Juno Food Bank. And that's going to be exciting too. But Dox Tahini is a little bit more central location to where we can service both the valley and downtown.
I see. Nice. Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, so let's talk about Montessori. My daughter went to Waldorf, and nobody ever really knew what that was. But I would say to them, I said, "Do you know what Montessori is?" Well, it's like that, but totally different. But what is Montessori? That's what we're here to talk about.
Okay, that's exactly what I asked whenever I looked at the website last year and applied for jobs. I was hired right around this time last year. I will say that my niece, the great Anna Dale, who is a college hockey player now in Pennsylvania, she actually went to Montessori Borealis through third through eighth grade. And we offer pre-K through eighth. Right now we have 97 students on our lottery waiting list. And what Montessori basically is, I will say, it seems too good to be true because I have done some administration work at the elementary. I was a high school English teacher, but I've done a little administrative work at elementaries in San Antonio, and I will liken it to herding cats until you get to Montessori. And yeah. Montessori's vision, and this is Maria Montessori, who was the first woman doctor in Italy way back when. Her vision was to meet students at their own level. In other words, for them to learn when they're ready. So it gives the students a lot of choices. But when you walk into an early that's first, second, and third grade classroom, and you see some students quietly working on math, and you see other students quietly working on their letters and things like that, and you see other students making their own snack, and because they have these choices, I liken it, and I'm not even joking, I liken it to hummingbirds kind of buzzing around. And it has that feel of students buzzing from one place to place. I'm going to have my snack, and now I'm going to go do my English. And I'm going to go over here now, and I'm going to work on my social studies project. And I'm going to do those things. They have to make those plans either the day before, the last thing of the day, or the first thing in the morning. They make their plan on, this is the order in which I'm going to work things. This is what I feel like doing today. I do have some things I have to do, but I can do them in this order. And our teachers are more like guides helping those students do those things. So when they have some hiccups, teachers are there to step in, help them through a little patch, and then step back and watch and observe and let students kind of do things. I will say it's pretty amazing to come visit our classes, kind of see work being done that it's initiated by students.
And I love the fact too that they also have I subbed a little bit in the classroom for Montessori, and what was really fascinating about it was the older kids also help the younger kids because the grades are sort of combined a little bit here
exactly.
and there in different sections. So now, are there any upcoming sort of open houses or things like that that we want to let people know about?
Excellent. As a matter of fact, on our website, if you go to Juno's website and select schools on the Montessori website, right in the top right, there's a way to log in to our lottery system and sign up. And it's a true lottery. It's run with fidelity. In other words, just because you're nice to me right here in the studio and everything and offer me water when I come in doesn't mean that you're going to get a preferred spot. It's really wonderful that it's done with fidelity, that it's true, that I think that helps with the fidelity of diversity and the things we have, you know, students with IEPs and special ed needs, just like a normal school does, all of those things. But right next to that block on the website is we have three information sessions, basically. The first one is tomorrow evening at 5:30. It's a Facebook Live with myself and our music teacher, Rick Trostel, and Corey Crossett, one of our upper elementary teachers, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade together. And right before our site council meeting. And then we have two more of those in April. And that will give people an opportunity to kind of see things. Tonight, we're just going to, you know, show tours of different classrooms and what they look like and go over a couple of the things that we offer and the ways that we do things and then kind of branch out from there.
That's awesome. So it's a way to, you know, think about what you might want to do for your kindergartner through actually pre-K through
right.
eighth grade. Right. So it definitely covers a wide range of ages, and it's the Montessori Borealis program. It is one of the many optional programs here in Juneau. They obviously have some upcoming open houses, basically,
right.
or information
right.
sessions. And it is done on the lottery system. And there is a little bit of a wait list there.
Right.
Even to get on the lottery system?
No. Anybody can sign up to the lottery. Right now, there's 97 people on the lottery system
okay.
and everything. But then we follow, and it's done by grade level. So even though we have early L, which is first, second, and third grade, it's first grade lottery, second grade lottery, third grade lottery. And so you can, you know, your student, you know, if your student's a third grader right now, we only have three people on that list.
Right. Okay.
Better
okay.
chances. You know, it depends.
I see.
I would just like to say this too, that I know that a lot of people are naturally worried, nervous, anxious, whatever, about all the consolidations and those kinds of things. I will say that I wouldn't be here if I wasn't really confident in the fact that Juneau School District has a place for your kid, whether it's with my two programs, whether it's with the Clinkett program, which you're going to have some wonderful students in here and here in a minute, the Juneau Community Charter School, or the schools that will end up, you know, being the same schools they were, or maybe with a little bit of different with the consolidations or something like that. Our school is going to, we've got really good people in the district office and really good leaders, and we're going to do the best thing we can for our kids.
Well, so. That's wonderful. And again, welcome to town, John Paul,
you
principal
bet.
Of Yakus and of Montessori Borealis. And it's have a great year. I love the program. And if you're interested, you can find out more information about all of these programs on JunoSchools.org. Thanks so much for coming in, John.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
As John just mentioned, up next, we're going to have the TCLL program in here. We've got some kids here, and we'll have them coming up next. This is Gunnath Cheesh. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
My name is Lihindu Wu Lillian Petershore. I am Yenye Di from Taku Kwan Hit Flain. KTOO is vital to this community. Public radio and TV serve an essential service. What is critically important is that lesser known voices are heard. And KTOO does a champion job of engaging people from different pockets of the community. That's just really vital that we understand who our neighbors are, that we celebrate our diverse cultures, and that everyone feel like KTOO is representative of them and their cultures. When you make a contribution to KTOO, you make this important work possible. Give at ktoo.org.
This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO, and I have the pleasure of having a wonderful amount of young students in the studio with me right now, and they are from the TCLL program. And what we're going to do is we're going to go down the line, starting over here on the left, and I would like to have you introduce yourself. So let's start over here.
Paul, you do us out to Kennedy Isle Hut.
Gwyneth Cheesh.
Goo-goo quack, you hut do a sock, you big nachatsati. My name's Maddie.
Gwyneth Cheesh. Lean in there.
Gooch to let see any you hut do a sock kagwantan hut city. My name's Leighton.
Okay. And?
What's a child you hut do a sock? Yes, na hut city. Quashki quan ayacha kagwantan yadi.
Ayacha.
Gooch cheese. Yucky.
Kasha you hut do a sock. Chalk na hut city. Shungu kedi ayacha. Deshitan yat chisati. My name's Aurora.
Awesome. Gonna the cheese hot yay adi. Thank you so much for you all being here. It's a pleasure to have you here. And wasa iati.
Click.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, and let me have our two adults standing behind here lean down and also introduce yourselves as well.
Aknai look you hut do a sock. Yallock you hut do a sock. Like enach Adele Hagavig you hut do a sock. Yeshna huts a tea. You pick aya hut. Quick pa quan aya hut. Mom to rishla quan away you hon. Like ka yuddy aya hut. Ku atla to woo aya hut. My name is Angai look. My other Yupik name is Yalluk, and my English name is Adele Hagavig. I am Yupik from the Yukon region and the village of Marshall, and I am the TCLL 4th and 5th grade teacher. Gwyneth Cheesh.
Gwyneth Cheesh. And?
Renee Drummond, you had to a sock, Norwegian Hatsati, and I am the 2-3 classroom teacher.
That is amazing. That was great, y'all. That was really fun. Okay, I love it. So now, people who are listening may be wondering, let's start with that a little bit, the TCLL program. Tell us just a little bit about it, and then we'll talk to the students about what they're learning in the program.
The Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program is a place-based, cultural-based, optional program in the Juneau School District where Tlingit language and culture are celebrated, respected, and integral to daily instruction of state standards. It's currently housed in Harborview Elementary School and operated in partnership with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. TCLL is free and open to students of all races, nationalities, and abilities in kindergarten all the way up to 8th grade, which starts next year.
Yay! Mm-hmm. I remember, I think, when we were talking last year about enrollment, getting folks ready, that was going to be part of the plan. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that it's going forward. And so so let's talk about over here. Let me talk to these two on the left here. Tell me, what is your favorite thing about the TCLL program? But they're going, you start. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to call on you. To lean into the microphone. Tell me what your favorite thing is.
My favorite thing about TCLL is that we get to learn Tlingit and we get to learn all about the food, and we get to have a lot of fun.
I love that. Fun and food are a big part of it, right? That's a good thing. Okay, what about you?
My favorite thing about TCL is probably about every Monday we get into the gym and we dance and dance in, and we dance in front of our elders, and it's just really fun.
Oh, wow. And that happens like every week? Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And don't you start every day with a little bit of singing and dancing as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monday.
Okay. And so what is your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is when I get to talk to elders and other stuff. And my most favorite thing is that we're doing vests right now. And then we're going to do blankets in eighth grade.
Blankets in eighth grade? That sounds awesome. And I just want to say that you just won the hearts of everyone because elders first, right? Yes, learning from elders is an amazing thing. And that is awesome. Okay, what is your favorite thing?
My favorite thing about TCLL is that we have elders in our classrooms every day. And like they speak fluently, which is like not many elders do anymore, which is really exciting and happy about what we do. And yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Learning the language, right? That is the wonderful thing, bringing it back and having it be part of the culture. And what about you? What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is that every day our elders get to help us learn and that we learn our culture and language along with all the other stuff that we have to learn in regular school.
I see. Okay. Now I see you have some cards there. Is there other things that you wanted to tell me?
It's like who are you connected to?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Please tell me.
You should tell them.
Yeah.
So we are all related to each other in TCLL in one way or another. And this was very difficult to come up with because we didn't know where to start with it.
I see.
We're all, and it doesn't matter who's in the program. We all make connections. And in that way, we are family.
Ah, mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So does somebody want to share who they're connected to? You go ahead.
I'm connected to Miss Yulek, actually.
Oh.
We're both UVic.
Ah, okay. Making the connections on. Okay, I like that. Okay, who wants to also share? Who? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm related to Peyton.
Okay. Oh, you two are related.
I should say how.
How, yeah.
Since we're both Kagwantan, she is my opposite.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So learning about the opposites is really important too, right? In terms of having the balance, right? Because you're also learning not just the language, you're also learning about the culture, right? And the balance in the culture is so important and so valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Who else wants to share? Yeah. Over here. Go ahead.
I'm connected to Enza Cruz, Makai Bean, because they are my father's people, Kagwantan. I'm also related to Aurora Sutherland, Michael and Jackson, Edith Stepton, Martin Stepton, and Casey Motes.
Oh, and you're related to the person sitting next to you, Aurora. Okay, that's awesome. And what about you, Aurora?
I'm connected to my best friend, Michaelin, because she is my same clan, and she's also my cousin. We're both Shungu Katie.
Okay.
I'm also connected to my friend, Edith. She's also my clan sister, and we're cousins because our moms are cousins.
I love that. Okay, and there's one I didn't hear from over here.
I'm related to Joseph because he's Chukunity. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That's so cool. That is so cool. Okay. So obviously I think our listeners understand just by hearing you all speak today, like what this program is all about. And maybe somebody out there wants to get their student involved. And so how do we do that? What's the best way to do it? Are there open houses or anything coming up?
That's coming up really soon, actually.
Yeah.
And the dates are going to be all posted on Harborview's website.
Okay.
As it gets closer, there's going to be a open house where new students and families can come visit during the school day. They get to join us during morning meeting on Mondays. And then they will go and visit a classroom. And there's also an upcoming open house after school where parents can come in and get a tour of the whole school.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
So they get to see where the different classrooms are and really how close they are and also get to look at where our specials are, and they'll get to learn about the middle school too, because the middle school, they actually leave the building for their electives. Where do you guys go when you leave Harborview Building?
We go to JD for band. Sometimes we're able to leave the building for other things like math, science, or even ELA.
Okay. That sounds so good. You have something?
For my thing, we do NYO for our Thursdays, and it's really fun because we're doing a thing where we're going to join NYO.
And what is NYL?
Native Youth Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so great. Okay. NYO. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That is so cool.
It's really big in our program.
Yeah. That's going to be so awesome. So is this also on the lottery system? Do you have to be in the lottery to be able to get into this as well? Okay.
Yes. And I actually have the dates for the visits.
Okay.
The first one is the school site visit, and that's going to be that Monday morning visit. It's April 8th from 8:30 to 9:30, and that starts in the Harborview Gym. And then our TCLL open house is Thursday, April 11th, and that starts at 5 o'clock p.m., and that'll be in the Harborview Commons.
I love it. That is so good. Well, Gunath Cheese, for coming in today and telling us all about this wonderful program. It continues to be an amazing program, and it's so vital to our community and to the culture and all of that good stuff. So, and I really appreciate you all coming in and being here to share your introductions and a little bit about what your favorite things are in the program. So Gunath Cheese, for being here, and we'll see you soon.
Gunath Cheese.
Okay. That's so great. Up next, we'll talk with Corey from the Juneau Community Charter Schools. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
We've been raising programming funds the last 6 weeks through the mail and email for our spring member drive. Everyone who renewed or made an additional gift deserves a huge thanks. But if you still have a letter from us sitting on your counter that you've been meaning to get to, we encourage you to take care of your renewal. And if you've never given, what a great time to sign on. Just go to ktoo.org. Every contribution that comes in goes right back into the programs you listen to every day. Gunath Cheese.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on community-supported KTOO, 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. And our last program that we are talking about today is the Juneau Community Charter School. And Corey, the principal, is here. Corey Weiss, right?
That is correct.
Awesome. And you were here. You are also sort of newer to Juneau. Last year, I think when we had you on the show, you had been in town like a couple of weeks.
Right. Last fall.
So you've settled in a little bit.
I have.
That's good.
I hate to follow those kids. They were great.
never follow kids. Yeah, that's the thing. No, it's all good. But so tell us a little bit about what the Juneau Community Charter School is.
Well, so the Juneau Community Charter School has actually been around just over 25 years. We're either the second or third oldest charter school in the state. And originally this was a group of parents that got together, and they wanted to create a school that followed a bit of a different model for their kids. So rather than at that time, the traditional sit and get model, they wanted something that was a little bit more active, interactive, out of your seats and out of the classroom. And we've changed over the years, but some of those basic tenets are still there. John was describing what Montessori is. We're a lot like that except we're more structured. Mm-hmm. What he was describing was a little bit more of a self-directed learning model. And we have a little bit more structure, but one of our big elements is what we call project-based learning, where and a lot of schools practice this, but we've been very intentional in practicing it since we opened our doors. And that is using movement, using strategies of engagement, not necessarily sitting in a desk all day. We're very big on getting outside of the classroom. One of our fundamentals is what we call walking field trips. Mm. Our classes, usually on a weekly basis, are walking somewhere. They're going to the kindergarten first grade class walked to the Capitol or went to the Capitol recently. They walked to parks. They walked to the library. They walked to see Alaska. That's one of the benefits of our downtown location. But another big element, very, very important element, is family involvement. If you walk down the hall, you see parents in our classrooms almost every day. Volunteerism is a big part of our operation.
Isn't it that you ask the parents to give a few hours a week? Is that part of the program?
We ask, but
if they can.
Right, yeah. Right. We realize that there are realities to families. So to me, the idea of volunteering is not requiring,
but
asking. Yeah. And so for those who are able, absolutely, we love to have them in. They help us out at recess. They help us out at lunch, help us out in the classroom. They go on the field trips with us. So trying to have a community of families is very, very important to us, and not just a community of students. Small class sizes is already always been very important. At the moment, our largest class is 21 students. Mm-hmm. Our smallest is 15. We have a 1 to 22 student teacher ratio that's been in place for over 10 years. And so the school's never grown past that as far as teacher student ratio.
I see.
But again, one of the things that's a little different is we don't have grades. Being project-based and using principles of engagement and different strategies in the classroom, rather than having the challenge of grades, what our teachers do when we have conferences and we meet with parents, they have what we call narratives. And they have regular conversations with parents, but in lieu of a report card, so to say, we do these narratives instead. So that's something that's kind of different also.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So it's wonderful because we're learning today about all the different philosophies that parents can get engaged in. And I know if you're listening and you may be getting confused as to which program is which, if you go to junoschools.org, there is actually a banner, a button right in the middle of the page right now that says information on JSD optional programs, and it gives you a rundown, and you click that and it'll show you all the different programs, and you can get more information about all of them. And so that's really, really good. But I love the differences in all the programs because education isn't done just one way, right? So that's kind of fascinating. So do you all have open houses and things coming up as well?
We do. We're laying out a pretty aggressive calendar. So first of all, our house is always open.
Okay.
We have a wonderful person who works in our office who's also a parent, and she is always there to give tours whenever people are interested. And so you can call the school, which, by the way, is 907-523-1679. But you can call the school and set up a tour at any time. We will be having an information gathering on Wednesday, April 3rd, I believe it is, the first week of April. And like I said, we'll have a lot of information out and about and around town. So we're very interested in growing our population, and we welcome everyone who would be interested in our model and and would like to learn more about us.
And just to be clear, is this also on the lottery system as well?
It is.
Okay, so all these programs that we've heard about today are on the lottery system, and getting yourself into the registration for that is probably the most vital thing if you're interested in any of these programs.
Right.
So that it doesn't matter what order you enter the lottery, but just before the deadline, obviously. And all that information is on the junoschools.org website.
And I would also add, we're a K-8 program also.
Yeah, K-8 as well. Okay. So so now the interesting thing about what the school board is going through in terms of merging the grades or sending some to different places, that doesn't affect your 7th and 8th graders.
Our location may be affected. At the moment, we're on the lower level of Juno Douglas High School.
Okay.
And we've been there for 6 years.
Okay.
As a charter school, there's a process we go through to determine our location and all elements of our operation.
Yeah, I see.
So we have more autonomy. The charter school is governed by parents.
Yeah.
So we have a parent committee that is sort of like a mini school board that governs the charter school. But we will be affected by location. We may end up where Montessori is at DZ, but that's not for certain.
Yeah, everything's up in the air right now.
It's still being determined.
But right. The programs will be there, and that's the wonderful thing. And
right.
Corey, I want to really say thank you for coming in and telling
Absolutely.
Us about it. The Juno Community Charter School, the TCLL program at Harborview, and of course, Yakus, the Alternative High School, as well as Montessori Borealis. All of those programs have information at junoschools.org. There's a button on there which you can click. It'll give you more information about all these programs. Registration for the lottery is happening now. All of the open houses are listed on there as well. It's a great time for you as a parent to get out there and check out the different options that are available to you. And again, these programs are all of no charge. It's just an
That's
optional
great.
Way to have your student educated here in Juno. So Gwyneth Cheese for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Okay, up next, the 2024 Alaska Statewide Postcard Contest kicked off yesterday, and we'll find out all about it next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, this week's Tongass Voices.
Mabuhay and hello. This is Tasha Elizarde, KTOO's Community Engagement Producer. I work to find the stories and perspectives that you might not always get to hear. This past year, I shared incredible personal histories from Juno's Filipino community through KTOO's new podcast, Manga Cuento. And this year, I'm contributing to KTOO's new series, Tongass Voices. When you support KTOO, you make this kind of reporting possible. Sign on as a new member at ktoo.org.
You are listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Jocelyn Clark was born in Juno, but moved to Asia after high school, where she began to study folk music. Now, she's dedicated her life to playing the kayagum, a string instrument that's 1,500 years old. She came back to Juno for the holidays and sat down with KTOO to talk about her musical pursuits.
My name is Jocelyn Clark. I grew up in Juno and graduated from Juno Douglas High School in 1987 and became an exchange student pretty immediately after that. I lived in Japan, then in China, then later in Korea, and I started studying instruments of those countries. Here I played with the symphony and other music organizations. I'm currently living in South Korea, where I study an instrument called the kayagum. It's a 12-string silk string zither with movable bridges. I wanted to work really hard and, you know, show that I was a serious student and all that. And I finally got my first kayagum and I got a teacher and I was going to work hard. And after playing for about not more than 10 minutes, my fingers were already bleeding. So it turned out that you couldn't practice very hard even if you wanted to. This was sort of a time where it's still like that for me. You know, if you don't practice, you lose your calluses and then your fingers bleed. So it takes time to build up the calluses and the muscles that you need to play. You stop each string ringing as you're playing the next string. So you only hear one note at a time or one string at a time, and you stop the others vibrating. And that leaves you with just one voice. It's almost like singing. There's no harmony, just one voice at a time, and very, very rhythmic. The piece I'm working on, and I have been working on for 30 years, is over an hour long. In the beginning, I thought of it as a Westerner, as a piece, you know, oh, I learned the notes, so I'm done. But it, you know, it's not about the notes. It's about all the subtleties and all the different tone colors and all the sort of nuances within each of those notes. Each note in a way is its own world that you have to explore. I'm a professor at Paige University in Daejeon, South Korea at the moment. I am and have been very interested in the sort of ethnomusicology is sort of anthropology plus sound plus music. For me, living in Korea is very interesting, you know, to think about music, but also to think about Korea's colonial past and its pre-colonial past in terms of Japanese occupation really occurs at the same time as Alaska's colonial past starts. You know, the arrival of missionaries in Korea happens at the same time that arrival of missionaries in Alaska occurs. Missionaries became connected to, you know, the arrival of Western, of course, Western ways, just as it was here. And the consequences for Korean music are, in a way, similar to consequences for music and dance here. So it took me some time to understand how narrow my views were having grown up here and to learn how other cultures and instruments and sound systems work with the background in my own ear of, you know, a tempered classical scale and reading music off a sheet or something like that. What I'm learning now is an oral tradition that's orally transmitted through memorization and uses different notes, different, we don't even think of them as scales, but different modes than Western music. And it's been really quite a journey in terms of listening and trying to understand different aesthetics, different timbres, different rhythms, different, everything's different. Everything's different.
That was Jocelyn Clark, who studies and plays a traditional Korean folk instrument for this week's Tongass Voices.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Alaska Statewide Postcard Contest, the fourth one. It started yesterday. It runs through the end of April, April 19th. It's open to Alaskan artists and those who have a strong connection to Alaska. And it's all sponsored by Kindred Post. And here to tell us more is Kelsey Riker with just one of their many hats on. And today it's it's the hat of manager of Kindred Post.
It is.
I'm going to teach Kelsey. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Boston?
I'm excellent. So the Alaska Statewide Postcard Contest. What is that?
Yes. So this is one of those biannual, as in every 2 years.
Yes.
Not twice a year.
Always confuses me.
Yes. Art contest that allows Alaskan artists and this year, as you said, folks with a strong connection to Alaska to submit artwork to ultimately we have 10 winners out of everyone who submits. That artwork will be printed on postcards for us to sell in the store. And I enjoy the timing of this contest because it's right before all the cruise ships start coming in, and we know how tourists love their postcards, and we know how they love to mail them from Kindred Post. So this is an excellent opportunity for us to say, look at all of these postcards by Alaskan artists.
I love that.
Yeah.
And who is eligible to enter the contest?
Yeah, so it really is any Alaskan, and we kind of opened that up this year to also anyone with a strong connection to Alaska. We're a town with a lot of transplants, especially during the tourist seasons. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and here I am now. Yeah. And kind of stretching that line of who has a strong connection here. Is it someone who lives here all year round? Is it someone who has lived here their whole lives?
Could it be someone who lived here and has moved away and wants
Absolutely.
To participate because they still have that connection?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we, you know, we have a lot of customers who get in touch who are like, I lived there my entire life and will still connect with us through purchasing artwork because they want a piece of home in their new space.
I love that. So what do people do? Like you said, there's 10 prizes. Obviously you're designing a postcard or artwork that would be on a postcard. And then, so what do I do after I design it?
Yeah. So, and this, all of this can be found on kindredpost.com. There's a submission form, where you will literally upload an image, and this can be anything. It could be a painting, a photograph, a three-dimensional piece of artwork that you photograph. We've had all kinds of things in the past. We've had clay figurines photographed.
I love it.
Yeah, it truly can be anything. It does, however, feel like we need to say this these days, has to be an original image. It cannot be AI generated.
No AI. An original image.
Yes.
And obviously something that you created, not an original image that somebody else created.
Correct.
Okay. And you don't necessarily have to be an artist if you just want to submit something that you think is cool, a picture of something that is 3D or whatever that might be that you think would make a good postcard.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you caught an epic picture of the Northern Lights months ago, go ahead and submit it. Who knows? We have a panel of judges, which will narrow down those submissions, and then ultimately everything will be decided by popular vote. And you'll be able to follow along mostly on our Instagram page and also on our website.
Right. And I know there is, if you go to kindredpost.com, there's a blog post that explains a little bit more about it, tells you all about the different categories of award and what you would get with that and all that kind of stuff, which is really cool. And again, just to remind everyone that it goes through the end of April 19th. That's when you can submit until.
Correct.
Okay. So you have until the end of April 19th. It started yesterday. So you can be one of the first to submit if you get on it right now. It's open to Alaskan artists or those who have a strong connection to Alaska. It's open to adults and youth, and it's all sponsored by Kindred Post, and you can find out more at kindredpost.com. Kelsey, thanks so much for coming in today and telling us all about the Alaska statewide postcard contest.
Thank you, Boston.
I love it. Okay, good with cheese. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a preview of this Friday's Honky Tonk Night at the Red Dog Saloon and Bat Boy the Musical will be here. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. As a reminder, it is our spring membership drive this week. You can donate at ktoo.org. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. You can find more about the show at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Thanks, and have a fantastic Juno evening.